Hi, my name's Daniel. I am the e-commerce newbie, and this is a podcast about the things I've learned on my journey through the e-commerce landscape. And today I'm going to talk about sticking with it. And it's a funny thing to commit to something because if I take an example, and for us an example would be what's a good example? Example would be what we've done on social media. That would be a good place to start. But I feel like I've talked about social media quite a lot, maybe too much. But let's say if I talk about what we're doing with our blog, I've talked about this before as well. But I think blogging is probably, or that side of content marketing is probably overlooked because advertising is still so cheap. I think that'll probably change in the years to come. And I think if you have a business that is completely and solely dependent on paid advertising, it's going to be a hard place to be. Like your costs are definitely going to increase. So we've been focusing not a great deal, but definitely an increasing amount on our blog. And at the start, as I'm sure probably every blogger will say, is that you are blogging to no one. You're just writing away and creating content, posting it out in the world, and unless you're making a real effort to promote it, and promoting could be anything from your social media channels to reaching out to people that you think might be interested in and say, "Hey, I've written this. What do you think?" That could be promoting as well if you don't have an audience yourself. So we do that as well as posting on our social media channels and driving traffic that way. We've even experimented with paid traffic to blog posts in the hopes that we would get backlinks through that. And that is, we've had a good conversion rate as far as click-through rate. It's been by far the cheapest click-through rate we've had on anything that we've done has been to a blog post and one specific piece of content we made, which was this kind of these foldable globes where anyone can download them and print them and fold them into some cute little decorations and globes in different shapes. But so that's one thing you can do with your blog. But just in general, I guess just that idea of sticking with it, you know, there's this whole train of thought out there, a school of thought, I should say, where people have this quick turnover times and try things if they don't work, forget about it, move on. But there's also a completely different school of thought, which just says persistence wins. You know, you don't have to, and in all the podcasts I've listened to and blog posts that I've read, and when I look around in the world, it's not necessarily the best products that win. And it's, you either have a really great marketing team behind you, or you're just persistent. I mean, a lot of it is, I mean, people and their stories anyway, the stories that I listen to and their experiences I've heard of, where people have one break. There seems to be one sort of inflection point where they're like, "Oh, we were doing this for ages," and then all of a sudden it got picked up by Mashable and da-da, we have a business, or we went on Shark Tank, or something like that. There's also a great deal of stories out there where people just are consistently doing the thing. And when I first started thinking about blogging, thinking seriously about blogging and putting time and effort into it, I very quickly realized that I am no good at it. I am not a good writer at all, and I spend far too much time compared to the amount of content I produce on it. So we hired a blogger, and that's working out really well. And I think probably what we should be doing is scaling that up a little bit. At the moment, we create one article a week. That probably should be more than that, but I mean, everyone has to start somewhere, so that's where we've started. But when I was first thinking about blogging and this idea of creating that asset and being consistent and persistent about it, and by asset I mean our website, you know, building up the value of our website, not so much concentrating on building up the value on different social platforms, because it's quite scary how quickly that could be taken away from you. So our focus has been very much on building up our own website, and blogging's been a big part of that, and creating other forms of content is a big part of that. So when I first started thinking about it, I looked around for examples. You know, what is a best case, worst case scenario? How have other people done it? And looking at what kind of traffic they were getting. And of course, there's various different tools around there where you can, you know, plug in a URL and get an idea. I doubt that it's an accurate, like a perfectly accurate a traffic rating, or and you know I can't see how these websites can have a pixel installed on every website on the planet and therefore know exactly how much traffic is coming, but so I'm assuming they make some kind of estimate, and I'm not really sure how that's done, but I've tested it a few times with against their website, where I obviously know what kind of traffic is, and it's oh yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it does give a good estimate, I think. So anyway, I found some other websites, other blogs in our particular niche, and started checking them out. Like, well, what are they doing? What are they posting about? And how's it working out for them? What's getting traffic? What's not getting traffic? Kind of thing. And how long have they been doing it for? So often they'll have a timestamp on the blog, so you can see, okay, they've been going around for. They've been here for ages doing this one particular thing. And I found a really interesting blog in our niche called Map Mania. It sounds ridiculous. And if you're not involved in the mapping community in any way, you'd think, what the hell is this? But Map Mania, according to these website traffic estimator things, it's 1 million unique views a month. And the person behind the blog, and it's nothing. It's I think it's on a Blogspot blog. It has a copyright from the people that designed the theme for the blog from oh the 1990s. It says designed by blah 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 in 1990 whatever. So well, you know it's 14 years old. So not 1990. Apologies, but the theme is 14 years old and it looks 14 year old. It looks terrible. It's a poor design. It looks terrible in every way, shape, and form. The only thing that's not terrible about it is the information on it and the amount of information on it. The amount of information on it is incredible. This guy, the owner of this blog, has been working on it for 14 years, and he has consistently published two blog posts of approximately 500 words on something entirely new. Every day for 14 years. And like, I can't remember off the top of my head what the bounce rate was like, or all that stuck in my mind was the traffic. And I thought this guy has done nothing spectacular, apart from his consistency has been spectacular. I don't know if he writes, he doesn't use any of the rules. You know, if you go on YouTube or start Googling SEO tips or how to write a blog or anything in that sort of direction. None of that. No fancy headlines, no fancy images used or crazy tricks used. He's just been consistent for 14 years. His writing style is okay. I mean, that is very consistent as well. But if it's modern and attractive and engaging, I don't know. I doubt it. I don't think it is. But man, every day for 14 years, he has published two articles. At least in the time frame that I looked at, I didn't look over right from the start, I have to admit. But definitely in the last couple of years, it was two articles a day, every day, about something different, about a web application, a web map application, sorry, something to do with web mapping or web map apps or, yeah. And, but the result of all that was 1 million unique clicks a month. According to these website traffic estimators, I couldn't see any form at all of monetization on this blog. Yeah, I'm not a developer. I have a technical background, but I would never classify myself as a developer. I just, especially for web, I just don't know enough. But I have an okay understanding. I could not see there were no, at least immediate obvious Amazon links, which I would have expected. I don't know if this, maybe I should have clicked around or installed a pixel checker and had a look to see what pixels were on there. Maybe he was selling those audiences to someone else, but there were no banner ads, there was no clickbaity anything, no things trying to redirect me to other sites. Sorry, there were. I mean, you could click through to web applications he was writing about, but that's it. But what an incredible amount of traffic this person was getting. And so I found out who was the author, and that wasn't immediately obvious either. There was no About Us or the story or the origin story, anything like that, nothing. I guess what I'm trying to say is the only thing, in my opinion, this person had done that follows the rules of, you know, making the perfect blog was be consistent and persistent. He had shown up every day and written two articles every single day for the last 14 years. And he was winning. Again, like, I'm not sure what his purpose was. There was none of this information available at all. And if you go to this person's Twitter profile and the other social media profiles, dead. You know, for a person who has a blog of this scale that gets this much traffic, I think the Twitter profile had something like 20,000 followers. He posted out to Twitter, nothing. No reposts, no comments, no likes. You know, even for a person with 20,000, I would have expected some, not reposts, sorry, retweets. I would have expected some retweets. Maybe one, maybe two. That's it. Maybe five or six, a handful of likes and no comments. And that was also consistent. Like, the consistency was just amazing. There was nothing spectacular about this person's social media profile or their blog in terms of the look and feel. But again, like, it was just stunning how, old everything looked. But again, you know, the traffic, he was winning. He was winning because he'd been consistent. And so it really made me think about which road, you know, which, and at the start, I think when you're deciding what to invest in, you're kind of standing at this crossroad, at least this is the way I feel, standing at this crossroad, have limited time and limited resources. You know, am I going to go for that quick model, that high iteration, fail fast kind of thing? Or am I just going to be like, I like this, and I'm going in that direction, and I'm going to be consistent and persistent about it. Not to be pigheaded about it and just keep doing something that's dumb, but like decide, okay, we're going to write this blog. We're going to write it for a year. Let's publish one article, you know, every week for a year and see what happens. That sounds like a really slow approach, but we're kind of committed to this business. I've said this before. We're playing a long game. And we're going to be here. We can see with the interest we get on different platforms that, you know, there is something here and we're doing something right because we're gathering this audience around us. So whether it's the maps in the form they are today or whether it's this new globe design that we're working on or whatever it is, like, I think that for us, persistence will win the day. But again, it's a gamble and it's a little bit scary taking that decision, but that's definitely that's the road we've decided to go down. And I can see that it's working. Sales haven't been up, but traffic has definitely been up. So I guess if traffic keeps increasing, and obviously look at the metrics and look at the bounce rate and look at the engagement, you know, on our different social media channels and on the website itself, of course, most importantly on the website itself, if all that stuff keeps increasing, and if our sales remain stagnant, well, then I guess it's a question of product market fit. But if you have the audience, you should be able to find the product for the audience. And this time around, at the start when we made our maps, we just said, okay, there's nothing out there like this at the moment. We're going to do this thing here. And that was maybe a little bit dumb, but at the same time, we got going. You know, we did something. Instead of just having an idea and not doing anything, we executed on it, and that just really opens your eyes, at least for me anyway. It really opens your eyes to what's possible, how hard it is, and what you need to do to succeed. Not that we've succeeded, not that we are at the end of the line yet, but I mean, we know significantly more now than what we did at the start, and the next business we start will be faster again. And I think what could be really interesting, although I'm not nearly as naive as what I was in terms of what it takes to run a business, is to start a business, to promote a business, and to have a successful business, We're obviously not there yet with what we're doing now, but our eyes have definitely been open. We know a lot more about it. I think an interesting path for us could be this long term, okay, we're going to do these maps, we're going to do it long term. This is something we're going to invest in, and we're going to not force it, but we're going to find the product. We have the market, we have the audience, go and find the product. What could be really interesting is to have something else on the side, a drop shipping something on the side, as long as it didn't become a distraction, and test things out. Have a site that we didn't necessarily need to have high profit margins. It'd be really great if those things could be in the same, if you could utilize the same audience. But have that sort of quicker turnaround mentality, and where it was okay to fail and to fail faster than what we're doing now. It's always okay to fail faster, but I think they're two very different mentalities, at least for me, and have this the map thing chugging away, but then maybe throw up another site somewhere else and use the same audience, but test with different products. But don't endanger our brand, don't endanger our name by testing, because I think you can test too much. I think people will get sick of it after a while. And I think just like on Facebook, for example, I look at it as distribution and obviously communication chance and storytelling. But if we just posted a link to our shop every day, people would get sick of that. We would not see the growth that we've seen at the moment. And I think that would be the same with testing things. If you're constantly, pestering people about what about this, what about this, what about this, what about this, they're going to get sick of it and go away. They're not there to be sold to. But I think that could be a very interesting approach for us. Could be this long-term approach where we are playing a long game on one side, and then have a completely separate business. Maybe drop ship something. We could use the same audiences, in the background. We definitely wouldn't run ads to them for our drop shipping business under our say and under our name, our brand name, but do it under another brand and just see what happened. Get the eye, see what works and see what doesn't work, and have that kind of mentality where, okay, we try this now, we give it a go for a week, 2 weeks, whatever. If it doesn't work, throw it away, move on. That could be quite interesting, as long as it didn't, as long as there was time for both things. Anyway, that's my thoughts on the long term of sticking with it. I realize I haven't provided any answers, but maybe you're out there in a similar position as me, and maybe sometimes it's just not it's okay not to have the answer. Maybe it's just okay to look at the question from a different point of view. Maybe it's just okay to realize someone else is looking at that same question and going through the same things what you are. Anyway, hope this provides some value. Talk to you again soon. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.